They called it transparency. They said they believed in honesty, in adult conversations, in not pretending jealousy didn't exist. They said their open marriage was private, mature, and nobody else's business. I believed them at first because I wanted to. It sounded progressive, Scandinavian, clean, like something that would never touch my desk, my calendar, my body. But openness has a way of leaking. It started as jokes I didn't know how to respond to. Comments made just loud enough to be overheard. Invitations that were framed as curiosity, not pressure. They didn't flirt the way most people flirt. They observed. They offered. They waited to see who would flinch first. When one of them wanted you, the other already knew. When the other wanted you too, it was presented as harmony, balance. Consent multiplied, they said, as if saying yes once meant saying yes forever. What nobody asked was whether the rest of us wanted to be folded into their agreement. What nobody planned for was how fast a workplace can turn into a room where silence feels like consent and resistance feels like an accusation. I was working in a mid-sized consultancy in Copenhagen, the kind of place that sold clarity as a product. Glass walls, soft lighting, long lunches disguised as strategy sessions. We were supposed to be adults here, progressive, evolved. The unspoken rule was that if something made you uncomfortable, it was probably because you hadn't examined your own biases closely enough. They joined the company within months of each other. He came first, senior analyst, calm voice, thoughtful pauses, the kind of man who listened more than he spoke. She followed later, officially in a different department, but functionally everywhere. Bright, direct, warm in a way that made people lean in. At some point, casually, it came out that they were married. At another point, just as casually, it came out they didn't believe in monogamy. It was mentioned over wine at a team dinner, framed like a fun fact. People laughed. Someone said it sounded liberating. Someone else said it must take a lot of trust. I remember nodding, even though my stomach tightened. Not because of the arrangement itself, but because of how comfortable they were making it public. It felt less like sharing and more like planting a flag. After that, the tone shifted. Compliments became more specific. Touch lingered half a second longer on shoulders, backs, wrists. Invitations multiplied. Drinks after work that turned into dinners. Dinners that turned into private conversations about boundaries, desires, curiosity. They never crossed a line outright. That was the problem. Everything was framed as optional. You could always say no. They said that often, as if repetition made it true. But the offers came from people with influence, social capital, access. Declining didn't just mean declining sex. It meant declining connection, favor, inclusion. I started noticing patterns. A junior associate suddenly glowing with attention. A consultant becoming quiet and withdrawn after a weekend retreat. Rumors that didn't feel like gossip so much as warnings passed sideways in the kitchen. Nobody complained, not formally. The culture didn't reward that. We were adults. Adults handled things privately. Adults didn't make things awkward. I told myself it wasn't my business. I told myself nobody was forcing anyone. I told myself that if it became a problem, HR would step in. That was the lie I needed to keep showing up every morning. The first time it touched me directly, it didn't feel dramatic. It felt conversational. A drink after work with him, then her joining, unplanned but somehow expected. They asked questions about my relationship status with an ease that suggested they already knew the answers. They talked about consent like professionals, about checking in, about power dynamics. They used all the right language. That was what made it hard to push back. Any hesitation on my part was gently reframed as fear, conditioning, something I could grow past if I wanted to. I didn't want to. But wanting to leave and leaving cleanly are two different things when your calendar is shared and your projects are interdependent. I started avoiding them. They noticed, they adjusted, they appeared in spaces I couldn't avoid without being obvious. Others weren't avoiding them. Some leaned in, some bragged quietly, some looked wrecked. The lines between work and personal life blurred, until it was normal to know who had slept with whom, and stranger still to pretend it didn't matter. The pressure wasn't overt. It was atmospheric, like humidity. You could function in it, but it drained you. Every interaction carried an extra layer of meaning. Every compliment felt like a test. Every refusal felt like a statement you hadn't meant to make. I watched people change. confidence curdling into anxiety, favor turning into expectation. I watched them talk about openness while people around them became smaller, quieter, more careful. I didn't report anything. That's the part that still sits heavy. I told myself there was nothing concrete to report. I told myself nobody had been harmed enough. I told myself I was protecting my own career, my own stability. When someone finally did raise concerns, it was framed as a misunderstanding. Cultural differences, personal choices, no policies broken. The language was immaculate. The result was silence. By then, the damage wasn't loud. It was embedded, trust eroded, teams fractured, people left without saying why. And still, the arrangement continued, just more discreetly, like a leak patched instead of repaired. I left that company a year later, officially for growth, unofficially because I couldn't breathe there anymore. The memory of constant calculation followed me longer than I expected. Even in new spaces, I caught myself scanning for familiar patterns, shared glances, too easy intimacy, the language of consent used as a shield. They stayed, at least for a while. Last I heard, one of them moved on to another firm, another city. The marriage apparently continued, open, honest, their story intact. What didn't stay intact were the people who had been pulled into their orbit. Some recovered quickly, some didn't. Some never named what happened, because naming it would have meant admitting they hadn't been as free as they were told. I don't judge open relationships. That was never the point. What I judge is the assumption that everyone around you has agreed to participate just by sharing space, that a workplace is neutral ground, that professionalism will absorb anything if you dress it in the right language. The residue of that place taught me something I didn't want to learn, that consent can be pressured without force, that silence can be mistaken for agreement, that calling something progressive doesn't make it harmless, and that sometimes the most damaging arrangements are the ones nobody asked about, but everyone was expected to accommodate anyway.